Our next section looks at international GAAP and recent changes to international standards. So we're looking at the major changes to international financial reporting standards. And remember on this section, the list of organisations that use international financial reporting standards, that would be companies quoted on the stock exchange with a full quotation on the stock exchange, a full listing, companies quoted on the alternative investment market and the public sector, and then any other users of IFRS who do so voluntarily. So those are the organisations that these standards apply to. I've got four areas that I'm going to look at. First of all, interest capitalisation. Secondly, leases. Thirdly, financial instruments. And fourthly, presentation of financial statements. So those are the four areas we're going to have a look at. And we'll start that with interest capitalisation. This is dealt with in International Standard Number 23. The UK equivalent, by the way, is Financial Reporting Standard Number 15. And basically, the international rules have changed so that organisations now must capitalise interest on fixed assets. So they must capitalise interest on fixed, or as the international standards call them, non-current assets. So the scenario where you're capitalising interest is where you buy a fixed asset or non-current asset, and it takes time for you to bring that asset into use. Any interest that is accruing on the cost of the asset over the period it's taking you to bring that asset into use needs to be capitalised. And that means that that interest is debited to the cost of the fixed asset rather than being debited to the profit and loss account. And then when the asset gets depreciated, of course, that interest that's being capitalised is part of the cost of the asset that's going to be depreciated over its useful life. In the UK, by the way, we have a choice over whether we capitalise interest in this scenario or not, and that choice remains. Secondly, we're going to look at leases, and the reason for looking at leases is there is a proposal out from the International Accounting Standards Board that all leases should be capitalised. It's an extremely contentious issue when an organisation takes on a lease, whether that lease is a finance lease or operating lease. And the accounting standards authorities have been almost fighting for years to get organisations to capitalise leases that truly are finance leases. And organisations have resisted and chosen not to capitalise leases wherever possible because it keeps that borrowing off their balance sheet. So the International Accounting Standards Board are considering abolishing the idea of an operating lease. And that will mean that effectively all leases will be capitalised. Short leases, which would have previously been operating leases, will be capitalised at the present value of the future lease payments. Market value wouldn't be an acceptable approximation there. So that is a proposal only. It's an exposure draft. We'll have to see what happens with that. But the proposal is that all leases should be capitalised. Thirdly, there are proposals on financial instruments, and there are some quite radical proposals on financial instruments. The proposals are to do with International Accounting Standard number 39 on the measurement of financial instruments. It includes measurement and also hedging rules as well. There is a new International Financial Reporting Standard out here, IFRS 9, and further changes will be coming out later this year and possibly early next year on financial instruments. Fourthly, we're going to look at reporting financial performance. And under this heading, there's two topics. First of all, there's a change to the way financial statements are presented. And secondly, there are changes, probably less importantly, actually, there are changes on segmental reporting. So changes on the presentation of financial statements. International Accounting Standard number 1 has been changed to allow companies a choice over how they present their results for the year. Companies can either do what UK companies do at present, which is show their profit and loss account and their statement of changes in reserves as two separate statements. So that's a profit and loss account, or income statement as they call it under international standards, and a statement of movement on reserves separately. Or they can produce what's called a comprehensive statement of income, which will show the profit and loss account and the statement of movements on reserves combined as one large comprehensive income statement, which will start with revenue for the year and which will end with the total gains and losses for the period. In the UK, as I mentioned, we still have to show a profit and loss account plus a statement of total recognised gains and losses separately as two separate statements. They can be on the same page, but they're two separate statements. The international standard, just to recap, does allow companies, if they wish, to produce those two statements as one combined statement of comprehensive income. Secondly, there are changes to segmental reporting. Under international standards, IFRS 8, the standard requires organisations to report externally the segmental information that is shown internally to their chief operating decision maker. So basically, international companies following international standards have to report the same segmental information externally in their published accounts that is presented internally to their chief operating decision maker, which will usually be their chief executive. In the UK, by the way, we're still following the old SAP, SAP 25, which has a fairly rigid, objective list of segmental information that you have to prepare. The international standard is now much more subjective, so that each organisation, as I say, reports externally in its published accounts the same information that is reported internally to its chief operating decision maker.